Well, Jo is preaching at Eastgate Union. So she gave me this morning to preach, and she said, do what you like this morning. So it's all right. It's not too bad. So I kind of reverted back to evangelism because that's kind of my pet topic. I thought, right, I'll get in there with that. And I went to a conference, me and Paul, in January, and we got so many things out of it, so many different things. So some of them, it's a bit of a chance for me to incorporate some of those into it. So my main 3 points I have stolen. I don't know if that's all right or not. I've stolen them. I've written my own points, but I've nicked the headings from J. John because he is the authority on evangelism in this country, really, isn't he? So he's got a really nice way of simplifying things quite well. So I've kind of nicked his titles, but I'm going to be incorporating a few different things, some statistics and things we learned at the conference and some other things just on my heart to share. So I hope that is all right. So talking about talking Jesus, just sharing about who Jesus is, sometimes it can seem a little bit daunting. And so I'm going to break it down and just help us this morning to come just to simplify that a little bit and help us to have confidence in doing that. I am starting with a few assumptions. Firstly, that most of us in here are Christians and understand the kind of why of evangelism. Why do we need to tell people about Jesus? We kind of get that, the Great Commission that Jesus commanded us to, and that we want people to find out about him. I'm kind of starting with that assumption, so I'm not gonna labour on that point a lot this morning. I'm going to look at sort of more of the hows and just try kind of making that a bit easier for everyone. So just to start with a little survey, as you do. So we're going to do a little hands-up survey. How many people in here, would say that you are a Christian today because you were brought up in a Christian family? So you'd say you're a Christian today. So we talk about the main influence in you becoming a Christian. The main influence in becoming a Christian was that you were brought up in a Christian home. Your parents maybe brought you to church as a kid, things like that. Okay, so we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm not going to count you. That's quite a big percentage. I'd say that's probably about 50 to 60% of people in here. Fantastic. Okay, so how many of you would say that you are here today as a primary reason that you are here, that you have a faith, that you found Jesus, was because of a close friend or relative who was a Christian, talking to you about God, maybe inviting you along, something like that? So how many of you would say that you're here because of a close friend? That's fairly big percentage as well. That's quite a few people saying that they come because of a close friend or relative. Brilliant. Okay, so how many people here, you would say you came to faith quite independently? So for your own search of God, you decided to kind of seek God out for yourself, maybe looked up where to find a church or read the Bible on your own, something like that. How many people would say that is your... So three, okay, brilliant. So three people for that one. And how many of you in here would say that your primary reason that you're here as a Christian, that you found faith, was because of some kind of outreach program? So something that you came to, that a church ran, that you started getting involved in and then came to faith through that. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, yeah, all right, so that's good. So I've got some statistics for you to look at. But basically what we've kind of done there is a bit of a reflection of what they asked a lot of people in this survey. So this was a very, very big survey of Christians and non-Christians. And then they interviewed people who had a faith. How did you find your faith? And I think it's interesting for us to look at that as a church to see, okay, what are the ways people come in? What's the best way? What's really working? Yeah. Things like that. Now, probably the big difference from that little survey we just did there was there were probably more people coming in through the groups, community groups, which that probably shows that our ministries that we run in church are good. So that's a good thing. So I'm going to flick it up on the screen. I say I'll pretend. Is it going to come up? Oh, yeah. It's a delay. Okay. Can't read that too easily, but hopefully, if you don't need glasses, you might be able to get... I'm going to turn around because I can't even read on that screen. Okay, so growing up in a Christian family, 41%. So we saw that was quite true. That's one of probably the biggest influences. Attending a church service, so people who just sort of came to services off their own back. Reading the Bible, 27%. Conversations with Christians you knew well, 27%. Now, I'm not going to go all down the list. I just want to highlight a few different things for us here. So down, in some of the bottom things like social media, having a dream or a vision, 3%. Social media wasn't even, actually, it was not even enough of a percent. It's a star. Christian media, 4%. Not bad, like an alpha courses. Individual outreach programs, see down there, that's only 5%. So we were doing quite well there. So what I look at, when I see that, it kind of echoes through. Now, what I'm not saying is we ditch all the ways where maybe the percentages aren't big, we just don't bother with them. I'm not saying that. I think any way we can reach out to people is good, and if there's 1% of people finding God that way, great, we'll keep doing it. But what it did show me is this. God's original plan, when Jesus was on the earth, he sent the disciples, he said, the Great Commission, go and make disciples. In other words, every Christian, every person is able to go and witness to someone else, tell them about their faith, tell them about God, and speak to them about Jesus, and then disciple them and bring them into church. That was the original plan. And what I see on there is that the more involved a person is in that, the more likely they are to find God. The things that are kind of a bit distant, so stuff like the social media, the TV and things like that, less people found Jesus through that way. And I think that's simply because, I'm not saying we shouldn't do those things, I'm just saying that simply because the way that God designed it was that we go out and we speak to people and we share our lives with people and we're salt and light in the community. Yeah. And so Jesus' original model that he gave us, we don't need anything else. That is the main way we should be witnessing. And as I say, we should have all those other things as well, but that is the number one thing. So if you're sat there today and you're thinking, well, I'm not very good at speaking to people about my faith, that's really for someone at the front to do that. Really, that's someone, you know, on telly or on the radio can do that. Actually, that doesn't really give you that excuse, that chart, I'm afraid. Because if you look down the list as well, even the, I can't find it now, but the conversations with people, conversations with Christians you do not know well, it was 9%. Can you see that striking difference, isn't it?
Yeah.
So 9% of people came through because of a conversation either with a stranger or a leader that they met at a program or whatever, and 27% through someone they knew well. So what is that saying to us? That is saying that we are the best people to reach our close friends and family for God. Now, that becomes a little bit uncomfortable because sometimes they're the hardest people to speak to, aren't they? Sometimes that's difficult when it's your family, when it's your friends that you know really well. That's sometimes a hard thing to be able to do because we like them. We want them to like us. We don't want to be rejected by them. And so to take that step of confidence is sometimes quite hard. But that kind of shows there that is actually, that's the most impactful and most powerful way you can actually speak to somebody. And I go into schools and all that, and the best way I think ministries work is alongside relationship. So, for example, our toddler group is fantastic at reaching out to people. And I think one of the reasons that's brought so many people in is because of Linda's, the way that she's so friendly talking to people. We watched that video the other week, didn't we, of Ali just telling her story of how Linda was involved in that. A lot of people from church go, and so it is... Although it's a program, it's through relationship, isn't it? So the best way to do it is join the two together as well. Invite your friends to church, invite them to a program, but that relationship is really key. So I'm going to help you. I'm going to break it down a bit today. I think we do have one more chart just to look at before I look at my three sections. Okay, so this survey wasn't just to Christians. It was across the board survey. So this is non-Christians attribute more positive than negative qualities to the Christians they know. So that is really good, isn't it? So when we kind of went through these statistics on the day, they said that these would probably be reversed if it was in America. So if you just flick it, we're going to just flick to the next one, but then we're going to move back in a second, Jamie. So this one, oh no, that's not the one. Is there another one? No, there isn't another one. Okay, go back then. Okay, well, what I'll do is if you want that info, I'll try and get it for you. But basically, it put a load of bad words on there, like hypocritical, like prideful. So, and the numbers were so low, people didn't think Christians were like that at all, homophobic, different stuff that was put up. And as you said, in America, it would be the other way around. Most people, how they perceive Christians, would be the negative really high and the positive really low. So that's encouraging to us this morning. That is saying that most people who know a Christian think positive things about the Christian and want them to kind of, and are happy for them to share the faith. So I just wanted to encourage you with that this morning. And people who know you, maybe you work in a workplace where there's lots of non-Christians, people who know you like you. I don't know if you can apply a statistic to that, but there you go. I'm going to tell you that this morning. They like you. They think you're a nice Christian. So go ahead and share your faith. Feel free this morning. So I'm going to look at three simple ways this morning that we can share that faith. So number one is care, number two is share, and number three is prayer.
Good.
Okay? Now, I would love to take the credit for those nicely sounding words, but as I say, I did steal them off J. John because they're really good and they're nice and easy to remember. I thought, I'm not going to do better than that, so I'll steal his. So first of all, caring. I've got a couple of Bible verses just to read you about caring for each other. It says in Philippians 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. And then in Philippians 2, it says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. I love the way the Bible's quite blunt sometimes. If you think you are too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. Then in Galatians, it says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. So just all verses about, okay, the DNA of our church, the DNA of who we are as Christians should involve that care. Because one of the basic truths that you learn in Sunday school is that God cares for us and we should care for other people. And that is instrumental in bringing people into faith. How you treat them will sometimes speak louder than the words you say to them. An act of kindness can go a long way. And I don't know about you, if somebody does something really kind to me in my day, I remember it. I kind of go, oh, this person, they were really kind. They did this particular thing to me. I still sometimes tell stories about some things random strangers have done to me or friends have done for me that have been really, really kind. And I've just been shocked by that kind of kindness that has come out. And God's just been challenging me recently because you can get into this zone of just getting so busy and doing things for God. And so we go around and we've got this thing to go to, we've got that thing to go to, and especially maybe when you're in ministry or you're running programs, volunteering for church, you've got this to set up and you've got that to go to, and that's really important, so you've got to get going. And sometimes we forget to just include people in that and just a bit of kindness and a bit of care. And I felt challenged the other day. I was on my way into St. Michael's School, and there was a lady there who used to come to church a long time ago, and she hasn't been for a long time. And every time I walk into that school to do a club, I just walk past her, sometimes give her a little nod or whatever. And it just really felt challenged, actually. What is it about if I can't stand and just have a little conversation with her? And so I just stopped and I said, hi, how are you? And we had a bit of a conversation, and her husband's really ill at the moment, and he's in hospital. And I just had this little conversation with her about it, and, you know, mainly just listened and said, oh, you know, it's really sad thinking of you, all that kind of stuff. And then at the end of the conversation, about to walk off, and she just looked at me and she said, thank you for listening. And I suddenly just felt a bit convicted that every other time I'd perhaps just sort of walked past her and got on with my things that I was doing. And, you know, that little bit of kindness made a difference to her day. Yeah. And so I kind of made it into a little bit of a thing that, I'm going to talk to her. And maybe eventually she'll feel like, you know, if she wants to walk back into church, there's that little bit of kindness that there's been a friendly face talking to her might help her just make that little bridge back into church. And there was something that happened a couple of weeks ago. Some of you, I don't think she's here this morning, so I can probably use the story. I just didn't want to embarrass her, that was all. But Brian did a little bit of an act of kindness. He's looking at me now like, what are you going to say? It's good, Brian. It's bigging you up. It's fine. So Ali invited one of her friends from, which I think she's known for years, but she just come to toddlers sometimes as well. And she invited this lady, and she was a bit nervous about, do I come, do I not come? Anyway, she had a bit of an incident in her car in the week, and I can't quite remember the details. You can ask Brian, he will probably clarify for you exactly what happened, but she was there and she couldn't move in a car, and she was at the side of the road, and Brian didn't know who she was or anything like that, saw someone was stopped, a damsel in distress, and he stopped his car and he went and he got out and he helped her and got her back on track, and she was so grateful to him. She was like, oh, that's, you know, you're my guardian angel, you've come and you've helped me, and just that little act of kindness. And he came and he just took out of his time, you know, we could easily drive past, couldn't we, and miss something like that. But he stopped and he helped her. And so when she walked into church and saw Brian, and she's like, wow, it's Brian. Like, all of a sudden, you know, that act of kindness was put together with, oh, hang on a minute, he was a Christian and he goes to this church and he stopped and helped me. Yeah. And I'm not saying we just be kind to people just to try and, you know, if we're kind to them, we can rope them in or whatever. It just should be part of who we are. But God orchestrated that, I believe, just in part of her journey to bring her along into coming to church. And I think that's just fantastic. I once, again, this is just a small thing. I was driving and somebody was waiting to cross the road, and I thought, you know, some driving days you don't stop for anyone, do you? I'm in a rush, I'm going, and I had a moment. I'm just letting you know, I do have those moments as well. I'm not just bigging myself up like I always let people pass, but I stopped and I let these people pass who stood on a junction, and they were so happy. I just let them pass. They went, we have been waiting here for ages. Thank you. Thank you so much for letting us walk past. And they were like really over the top thankful. And then, because it was like a little family, one of the teenagers goes, that's Liz from Baseline, like that. And so they knew who I was. And I just thought, do you know what? If I'd have just ploughed on, actually, they would have still known it was me. But I would be the person who didn't let them pass. And I'm sure there has been occasions where that has been me. But, you know, a little bit of kindness, actually, goes a long way, caring for people, just seeing what we can do for people. And I know particularly like And I talked about toddlers a bit, but Ali the other day just bought a whole load of biscuits. She said, I'm just going to do something kind for everyone. She's made these homemade biscuits, and they were really, really nice. And it's just thinking, okay, what can I do? What kind of act can I do for people? So what could you do? I want to leave you with that question for this kind of point is, what is it? What kind of act could you do? What way could you care for your family, friends, neighbours, people who know him and people who don't know him? What acts could you do that is just kind, that is just caring? And sometimes it's just being aware. So some of the times when I've done something kind, it's just because I've just kind of got out of my own little bubble of a world for a while and looked around and gone, God, is there anyone that you want me to talk to? Is there anyone you want me to help? Just be open to the Holy Spirit's prompting to be able to do that. Could you talk to your neighbours? Are you good at baking? Could you bake some cakes? Could you offer a lift to somebody? Could you, talk to somebody you would just normally walk past? I don't know what it is for you, but let's be open to the Holy Spirit's leading, because we can all do that, can't we? We can all give an act of kindness. The second thing is share. And this is the one I think sometimes we can be a little bit more daunted with. There's a lot of people who say, you don't need to say anything to evangelize. You don't need to just let your lifestyle speak for itself. And the thing about that is that actually, if we never say anything about our faith, people just credit us. So they think, oh, that person is a really, really nice person and that's good. And they think great things about us. Yeah. But if we never transfer that, if we never share the reason why, the reason behind that, what we're effectively doing is we kind of take the credit for that a little bit. And actually, as Christians, what our ultimate goal should be, reflecting back to God. Right. I'm this way because of what God has created me to be. Because of the kindness that he's shown me, that's why I am what I am. So whereas we don't have to maybe be sort of, people say, I don't want to ram it down people's throats. No, but a kind act and then occasional sharing, I think can go a long, long way. So how do we share? How do we share the message of Jesus with people? So I'm going to just give you a couple of key points to help you share the message. First of all, you need to know it. You need to know the gospel message quite well. Right. So if you don't know the message, how are you going to share it? And it's really some really, really simple ways to learn it. So when we did our mission week, we had the 4-point gospel, which many of you will probably know by now because we've banged on about it quite a lot. We've got the little wristbands. We've got the T-shirts. If you don't know and you're a bit struggling, like, I don't know what the gospel is, I don't know what the Christian message is, that's a great way to remember it because it's just 4 things that you can go through with people. And we have actually quite a lot of resources in the office. So we have all the little cards with the symbols on. You could take one if you wanted, put it in your handbag, or your man bag. Or your pocket, if you're a man. Put it in your bag, bring it around, take it with you. And it's a tool that's just there to help you remember. It's got a love heart, meaning God loves us. And then it's got a cross, like that kind of way, meaning we've all done things wrong. We all sin, we all mess up. And then the other kind of cross, Jesus died for us. And then a question mark, meaning we all have to make a choice. What we do with that decision, are we going to follow God? And that's it, really. So we kind of know in those basic points, what's the important points? They're the important points to get across to people. Yeah. There's other things that some of us have a bit of a specialist knowledge in, or we know stuff. And, unless people ask about that, don't crowd them with all that stuff. Stick to the main key points of the gospel. So I've gone into schools and I've done stuff on creation. I'm a creationist, I believe, in the literal 7 days and all that kind of stuff. But and we did a bit of a debate on it because all the science minds kind of wanted to come and have a little debate about it. But I wouldn't start a gospel message that way if somebody wasn't starting. And I wouldn't go, well, do you believe in that? If not, you know what I mean? So I would just say, like, those key points, they're the indisputable, things. And if people are on board with those, God will work on those other issues. Don't get hung up on little arguments and little things that aren't actually the main points. If someone's got a question, you can try and find out for them. But actually, the best way is to win somebody over rather than trying to sort of get, your point across to them or to argue That's with them. Really good. So those 4 points are really, really useful to use. And the second thing is use your story. So your story is so powerful. So powerful. We've known that watching some of the videos we've done in Crowned, if you've been in the Crowned stuff, and just hearing someone's story, it's amazing. And whether you think you've got a story that's amazing and life transforming, or whether you're like, well, I just grew up in church, doesn't matter. Your story is powerful. Yeah. Your story is amazing, and nobody can argue with your story because it's yours. They're not going to tell you, no, that didn't happen, or no, that didn't, because it's yours. And that's the great thing about a testimony, is that you can use, that's just a fancy word for your story, is that you can use parts of that, and not just the parts that you think, oh, that's a really perfect part of my life. Things that are hard in your life can really help people as well. So I remember listening to someone talking, and they were just being really vulnerable about this time in their life where they just felt God had let them down. And it was this, they prayed for it. It was their baby, I think. They prayed for it to... because it died and they wanted it to to be raised from the dead, I'll be okay. And somehow it ended up that the story didn't end well, and the baby died. And just listening to that story, it was really heartbreaking, sitting listening to the story. But actually, as you sat there and listened, and he used it to sort of tell how he could share the gospel with it, he thought, actually, if the baby was healed and it was a miracle, people could probably go, yeah, well, you know, maybe it was a miracle, maybe it was a miracle. But actually, as he shared in this vulnerability of how he felt in the time, it kind of disarmed all arguments. Because as he said, you know, but God was with me and I felt his comfort and I felt his peace. Yeah. Actually, it kind of melted your heart a little bit. And sometimes the most powerful parts of our story are the parts that are maybe difficult to share, maybe things in our life that have been really, really tough. Sometimes they are the most powerful parts of your story that you can share with somebody. Yeah. So it doesn't have to always be, you know, I became Christian when I was 4 and I came along to church. And you know, it doesn't have to be that. It can just be a part of your story that you're sharing. And you can just drop in, but you know, I felt my faith really helped me through that and God really helped me through that. And that's a really powerful way. I want to encourage you, share your story, share who you are, share your journey with people because it's powerful. The next thing is let them ask questions. Sometimes we can go into this mode of like just blah, 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 like this. Yeah. And it becomes, it's not almost a normal conversation anymore. No. It's like we can't, because maybe we're a bit nervous or whatever, or we're just used to reciting the story off, I don't know. But sometimes you can do that. And what I like to do sometimes is just kind of drop something in there and then let them ask a question about it. So you can drop in that he was on, oh, I went to this thing at church, and just wait and see, and get them asking you, oh, right, what's that then? And then you just give them a little bit more. They might ask you another question. Get them asking and listen to what they're saying. Even if it's not what you believe or agree with, because that goes a long way, just listening to what other people are saying. The Bible tells us to always be ready. There's a verse that's just going to pop up here, and this is my last point as well. In 1 Peter, it's one of my favourite verses. If somebody asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain this, but do this in a gentle and respectful way.
That's right.
So let's not let the way we do things disqualify what we're actually saying because of our attitude. So be always ready. So if somebody says, hey, why are you so calm when everybody else, you know, maybe there's that thing going on at work and, you know, stuff's a bit rocky and they go, why are you so calm? What is it about you? You're ready. You're ready with your story. You're ready with what you want to say. You're ready to give God glory. Always be ready to share your story. Third and final thing is prayer. It says in James 5 and verse 16, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. When we start to put together caring for people, sharing with people, and prayer for people, something powerful happens. Now, when we play on, some of you all know what I'm talking about here, some of you won't have a clue. If you play on the computer games, and sometimes you get ones where you can, like, punch something or someone, and you can do a bit of a wind-up punch. So you know what I'm talking about? So you press, you keep your finger on the button and it goes, and then goes, poof, like that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Math knows what I'm talking about. Good. I know all the gamers in the room, right? So we've got a game like that. You just keep your finger on the button and it goes, and then the other person sort of goes flying across the screen and it's great. And, you know, yes, we're in church. I'm talking about punching people. It's just on the computer, though. So this is what I think about prayer, is that prayer, when we're at prayer, we're winding up, yeah? Winding up. When we come to share, that gives it the poof. So when we put prayer behind our sharing, that gives it like the power punch. Because it says there that the prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Right. So let's get praying. In my sixth form, I had these people, I decided I'm going to have a prayer list, and I had 5 people on a prayer list, and I prayed every day, 5 people in my sixth form who weren't Christians. And by the end of the 2 years of my sixth form, I'd managed to share with every one of them. Yeah. 3 of them had been to church, 1 of them made some kind of response up a tree, and I prayed with them in a tree. And like every one of them, it's a random story, I'll tell you sometime. So every one of them had somehow either heard a bit of my testimony, a lot of them had come to church, some of them had come to youth. And I don't think that was just a coincidence that I asked them and they said, yeah, I think that was the prayer that I was putting in alongside doing it. And so prayer is powerful. Right, I read this joke once. Not a very good joke, but somehow it made me laugh at the time. Okay, and the joke is, what is Annette? Not the name Annette. Annette? Does anybody know?
Yeah.
What is Annette? Annette is holes tied together with string.
Cool.
Yeah? It's true, isn't it? Holes tied together with string. And I was just thinking about that that joke. And it's a kind of half a joke, half of a ponderment, really, isn't it? But, I was just kind of thinking about that. That joke, I think God has made us into a net, hasn't he? And there's lots of fishing metaphors in the Bible about where Jesus gets his disciples and he gets them to chuck the net over into, and he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And they pull up the net and it's got fish, you know, loads and loads of fish, and they're pulling them in. 158, I don't know why I remember that, but somehow that stuck in my mind. There's 158 fish on this catch when Jesus got involved and helped them. And if that net was just a hole, it wouldn't have caught anything. If it was one long piece of string, it wouldn't have caught much. But as a net, it was powerful. Hey, this morning you might just feel like you're just a hole. You might think, what use am I on my own? What can I do? I'm just one person. I'm not very good at sharing my faith. I'm not very good at praying. I'm not very good at whatever. But hey, when we join together, yeah. when God yeah. joins yeah. us together as a body of believers, yeah. we are powerful to bring in people and to start seeing people finding him. Yeah. And I want to do something a bit different this morning, okay, because some of you who know Facebook, you'll know a bit about when somebody adds you as a friend, you find so their little face and it says, add so-and-so as a friend. And you sometimes look and you go, who are they? Anyone have that before? Who are they? I think I kind of know the face, but I don't know who it is. So you hover over it and it says something like this. It says mutual friends, right? And you would be surprised how many mutual friends you found. This is it. Right, before Facebook, we would have never have known. But now the mystery is revealed who our mutual friends are. Yeah. And I've had a few conversations with people, I didn't know you knew that person. And they go, oh, yeah, they're like this and this. And you go, all right. And you look down. And if this person friends you on Facebook and there's no mutual friends, chances are you probably don't know them and avoid them. You know, if you're not sure who they are, then no mutual friends. Because especially in Louth, right, if you know them, you're going to have at least one mutual friend. That's the rule. So I'm just helping you all there with your social media life a little bit. But I was just thinking about our church and the mutual friends. And what I'm talking about is people who aren't in church, who are friends with more than one person in this room. And I just came up with a few off the top of my head from you that you'll be able to witness to him and share your faith with him. Yeah. You know, toddlers, I've talked a bit about toddlers, but we have this kind of thing, don't we? We're like a secret mission, stealth mission going on where we're actually trying to just speak to every mum in that room and tell them about God. It's true, isn't it? And I remember talking to Ali and I was like, well, I know this half really well. And I go, well, I know all the mums who sit on this side really well. So together, and, you know, sometimes I'll be sat there and one of you will be mid-conversation and I'll be praying for you and I'll be going, God, just pray you'll help that person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, help Lynn, help Jill, help Zoe, help Emma. So they're just talking. God, just give them a nugget of wisdom for that person. You know, because they're mutual friends, aren't they? Other people, I have AIDS as well as they're getting their hair cut. We all have mutual friends. And as we cast out, we're like a net that casts out. And I wonder if we could join together in prayer, then how much more powerful would those encounters be as we meet with people and share and go, hey, I had a great conversation with this person that we know that we share that mutual friend. So we've got about 5 minutes, okay? I'm going to shake things up a little bit. I want you to have a little think. Okay, is there anyone in this room who you share a mutual friend with who doesn't know God? Maybe some of you guys at school, maybe you've got some school friends that you know who you can pray for together. Maybe some of you go to work together. Maybe some of you just know that you know somebody in common. Why don't we get together now and we're just going to pray for that person together.